Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So we are talking about the Feast of Tabernacles this morning. And I think it's important for us to understand right off the bat that these feasts belong to the Lord. Leviticus 23 verse number 2 says this, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." Everybody say, they're his feasts. In other words, the feasts of the Lord belong to God himself. He is the one who implemented them. He is the one who started them. And they belong to him. Many people will say this. They'll say the feasts of Israel. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible calls them the feasts of the Lord. They are his feasts. Are you not of the Lord? Do you not serve him? Do you not follow him? And so if this is something that he loves, that he made his own, don't you think we should partake in it? Watch what the Bible says. It says, "The feasts of the Lord, you shall proclaim them to be holy convocations." The first thing we need to understand is, what does the word feast mean? The word feast in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word moedim. And it basically means this. It means a set time. In other words, it's the set time of the Lord. It is an appointed time of the Lord. It is an agreed time of the Lord. It's not a meal only. Amen? Although we know that the children of Israel would celebrate the feasts unto the Lord and they would also have meals. But that's not what it is. It is a set time of God. In other words, he himself appointed these times for us to go up and celebrate him. The word proclaim, he says, the feasts of the Lord you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. The word proclaim there in the Hebrew means to declare, to shout, to proclaim. And you will find out that he tells us in scripture later on, I'll share it with you, that we should not only proclaim it, but everyone you know you must bring to the feast. Especially all of those in your house, your children, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your dog, everyone. The whole family must go up to celebrate the feast of the Lord. And he tells us that we must declare it, we must shout it, we must proclaim it. In other words, it's something that must be announced because it's a set time. It's a time that God has designated for us to celebrate, remember, and to also, you know, pray for things that have come and things that are still to come. So we understand that. In our basic language today and in our current culture, we understand set times, we just don't call them feasts. But let me give you an example. We celebrate the Feast of Thanksgiving. How many of you know it's a set time? It's a time that we have set up where we give thanks for our family, for our loved ones, and for all different kinds of things. We also celebrate the Feast of Memorial Day. It's a set time where we celebrate certain things. We celebrate, we remember. We also celebrate Christmas. Most of us celebrate Christmas, and most of us celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ. There are others that celebrate Xmas. I don't know what that is. But anyway, we celebrate Christmas, which is where we celebrate the birth of Christ. But I will tell you this, that most biblical scholars agree that Jesus was born during tabernacles. Okay, we're not going to get into that today. But anyway, we celebrate a set time. We celebrate Christmas every year. We understand that. It's easy for us to understand. How many of you enjoy those set times? Come on, you know you like that turkey on Thanksgiving, right? And sweet potato pie and casserole and green beans and all that good stuff. How much more important do you think we should celebrate his set times? Times that he has set aside for us to meet with him. You must understand that we are the church. We live under a different dispensation. We don't live under the same covenant as the children of Israel did, we live under the new covenant. That doesn't mean the old covenant is done away with. And let me tell you something. When you look at biblical timeline and biblical prophecy, there are three things that you always look at that God is busy with. He's busy with Israel. He has not forgotten his promises to Israel. He is busy with the world. He's always busy with the world. And he has a timeline for the world. And then he has a timeline for the church as well. But we are also included in his promises and his statutes and things that he set up. We are included in that. So we celebrate the feast, not necessarily the way that the children of Israel do. Because the Bible, the Old Testament, is a type and shadow. It teaches us and points us to certain things. So as Christians that are not Jewish, if you're Jewish, you may want to celebrate the feast a little bit differently, more religiously or traditionally. And there's nothing wrong with that. But us being, you know, the church, you know, Christians, Gentile Christians, we don't celebrate it the way that they do, but we celebrate what it represents. We understand what happened, and we understand that it's a set time that God has set aside for us to meet with him. I can honestly tell you, I've been celebrating the feasts of the Lord for over 20 years now. When I got saved, when I really got saved, when I was at Little Falls, I served the Lord as a child, but when I really gave my heart to the Lord when I was 19 years old, which was many years ago, not that many years ago, so don't laugh, okay? We started celebrating, our church celebrated the feasts every year, three feasts, Pentecost, Passover, and Tabernacle, and I'll show you in just a minute why. And we would celebrate them every year, and I would see God move so powerfully during these feasts, because it's his appointed time. So it's times that he wants to meet with his people. If you understand spiritual things, you'll understand that it's a time where God wants to be with you. Tabernacles represents tabernacling with him, having an encounter, a meeting with him. And so it's very powerful, and that's why your expectation of what God has done and will do in your life in the future specifically gets highlighted in these events. So that's why we will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and we will celebrate Pentecost, and we will celebrate Passover. We always do. We celebrate Easter. We celebrate the resurrection. That all has to do with Passover. So let's take a look a little bit deeper this morning. What I need you to understand is that tabernacles represent something that has not fully been fulfilled yet. Whereas the first two feasts, which we call the spring feasts, Passover and Pentecost, Jesus has fulfilled those two feasts. We still celebrate them because we remember. Remember what I said? God is very sentimental. God has a book of memorial deeds. God has a book of life. God has a bottle where he keeps all your tears. Listen, God is sentimental. So we understand that he remembers certain things. So we remember what happened during Passover. But the first Passover took place when the children of Israel were in Egypt. And there was a plague that would be sent out where all the children, all the firstborns would be killed. And the only way you could pass from that is if you put the blood of the lamb on the lintel and the doorposts. And so that was the first Passover where death passed over them. Jesus is and will forever be our Passover lamb. He has taken away our sins, and death will not be your portion. Most of us, when we think about death, we think about, you know, it being an end. Well, the truth is it's actually the beginning. It's hard for us that are left behind, and it is because we miss those that die. I mean, losing someone that you love is one of the most painful things you'll experience on earth. You know, we even see Jesus, when Lazarus dies, that he wept. Now, many scholars have got different opinions about why he wept. Some say it's because of the faith of the people. Some say it's because of the way Mary was acting. Some say lots of different things. But there's a possibility that in that moment, he felt what it feels like to experience the loss of someone that he loves. Don't forget that Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And I love to see those moments of humanity in him because it gives me it's so awesome. I love it. I love to see that human side of Jesus as well, where he cries out to the Father and he says, if it is possible, let this cup pass before me. You know, he actually asks for it, but then he submits to God's will. That's just so powerful. That's just so wonderful to see Jesus operate like that. Can somebody say amen? Come on. Amen. So we understand that Passover represents that. Pentecost, what most Christians think is that Pentecost is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And yes, it is. It's the fulfillment of that. But actually, Pentecost was long before that. Did you know that the law was given on Pentecost? The law was given on Mount Sinai on and during the Feast of Pentecost. That's when it happened. Pentecost represents so much more than that. We know that we came out of Egypt. Every one of you were in Egypt, right? And we have Passover, and then we celebrate coming out of Egypt. That's when the law was then given. So Pentecost was actually there. But the Holy Spirit's poured out on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, which is the fulfillment of that. Every year we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of the law. It's so powerful. Can you say amen? And we get to see God move powerfully on Pentecost the same way that He did on the first Pentecost in the book of Acts. But don't forget, though, that it wasn't actually the first Pentecost. Now, what we need to understand is that in the next life, we're going to be talking a little bit about the next life today, because the Bible tells us that we'll celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in the millennial reign. For those of you that don't know what the millennial reign is, let me tell you what it is. What it is it's when Jesus will set up His kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. Did you know that you were coming back here? You thought your final destination was heaven. Well, I've got news for you. It's not. You are coming back to earth, and you won't just be here for 95 years. You'll be here for 1,000 years. I think that's pretty awesome. For 1,000 years, we'll be back on earth, but things will not be as they are right now. Things will be a little bit different. But take a look at what the Bible says. We'll talk about it. Deuteronomy 16, verse number 13. No, let's go to Zechariah 14, 16. Sorry, I'm moving ahead of myself. Zechariah 14, 16, the prophet is prophesying about those 1,000 years. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. Who is that? So we know that He will be in Jerusalem. He will be ruling out of Jerusalem, and everyone will go up to worship Him at a specific time. What time? And to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So we know that everyone, once a year, will go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I don't know if you're going to go on an airplane, if you're going to go by boat, if you're going to go in a car. For those of you that still live in the United States, we don't know what it'll be called then, but you'll be on earth and you have to get there. Maybe you'll be in the Spirit. Well, how can I say that? Well, I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. Where is Eden? Do you know that Eden is one of the only places that we cannot find in the Bible? Now think about this for just a moment. If Eden cannot be found, but they find everything else, and we were taken out of the garden and we were not the same way that we were in the garden, did something not change? Maybe we were taken out of a different dimension. Okay? So in this dimension, you cannot see Eden because you are not spiritual enough, okay? For lack of a better expression or explanation. Whereas when we come back in the millennium, you will be restored. How many of you know you're getting a glorified body? So your spiritual eyes will be open. And everyone that is on the earth at that time, their spiritual eyes will also go open. I've got some good news for you. Many of you think that when you die, you will not see your loved ones. That's impossible. You will remember. The Bible tells us you'll remember. The Bible shares more than one example of how the people that die, when they cry out to the Lord for vengeance. That means they remembered that they were slaughtered. That means they want him to avenge them. There's a story about Lazarus that Jesus shares when he's in the belly of Abraham, which speaks of a spiritual abode before in the Old Testament times. And in that, he remembered everything. If you remember everything, you're going to remember somebody that you loved. Are you with me? We don't understand everything, but I hope you realize that that's pretty good news. That means if you've lost a loved one, a sister, a brother, a parent, a child, you will see them again. I think that's great. I think we need to realize that there's going to be 1,000 years on earth where we're going to be busy doing stuff. Let me tell you, God even gets mad with people during that time. Let me prove it to you. Let's read further. Put the scripture on for me, please. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King and the Lord of hosts and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Next verse. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Now, in your natural mind, you're thinking, that's weird. It's not going to rain. But in your spiritual mind, you understand what rain means. Rain speaks of provision. Rain speaks of abundance. Rain speaks of blessing. So if you don't go up and celebrate the feast, I want you to know that it's not going to rain on you. Now, I want you to remember Pastor Alex forever. Never forget me. Because if you don't go up to the feast, you cannot tell the Lord that I didn't tell you about it. I have told you that it is your responsibility to go up to Jerusalem and celebrate the feast. But guess what? For those of you that are here, you'll know this is something we do every year. Right? So if it's important in the next life, surely it's important in this life. The Bible actually goes on to describe plagues that were in Egypt. I wonder what kind of plagues those were. Now remember, some people say, oh, well, we're already in the millennial. That's rubbish because Satan is very much around. I know, I met one of them last week while we were here. The devil is still operating right now. In that age, he'll be bound for 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a long time. The earth will continue to move and things will continue to happen on this earth. And then after the 1,000 years, Satan will be released one more time. And him and all those that didn't celebrate the feasts and those that were bad, there'll be a little coup. They'll rise up against God and then he'll destroy them. And then after that, what will happen is he'll set up the new heavens and the new earth. You thought that when you die, it ends. You thought you were going to float around in the clouds. That's why the Bible has promises for those who overcome. Jesus overcame his sin, Jesus overcame his flesh, and Jesus overcame the world. You are supposed to do the same. You are called to do to be a disciple, to be a witness. Guess what? You wouldn't be able to do if it wasn't for him who has already overcome. And because he's overcome, you can overcome. How do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Well, what does that mean? That means that you got up last time so you can do it again. That means that you didn't fall down and not get up last time. You can do it again. You have a story. There's a reason why you're here. There's no mistake that God has you for such a time as this right now. And it's because of his blood that you can get up. There's no other reason. It's not because you deserve it, because you're good enough, or because of anything like that. It's because he paid the price for you. Can you say amen? All right. So we can see we're going to celebrate the feast in the next life. Now, what is the Feast of Tabernacles? The Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths, was a time where the children of Israel would come together. And what they would do is they would celebrate what God has done for them. Their provision, when God protected them and provided for them while they were in the wilderness on the way to their promised land. Listen, every one of us is on a journey with our walk with God to get to our final destination as we know it, which is heaven. But that destination includes all kinds of things. When we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, we celebrate his supernatural provision. In the wilderness, God provided manna. God provided water supernaturally. And it's so awesome because the water came from a rock that actually the Bible tells us followed them. That rock is Jesus. And it's the same for us now. Our provision comes from him. But we celebrate and we remember his provision during the Feast of Tabernacles. That's why we do it. The children of Israel, what they would do is they would set up booths. They would build these little booths made out of straw. And what they would do is they would go into those booths every day and they would spend time with God, giving him honor, worshiping him and thanking him for the provision that they would have. The Bible actually tells us, let's quickly go together to Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. So I want you to understand, they would remember where they came from, they would remember God's provision, and they would also look forward to the coming where the Lord would set up his tabernacle in Jerusalem. And that's why the Feast of Tabernacles is not fully fulfilled as of yet. In part it is, but not fully. So this is what it says, Deuteronomy 16:13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. When you have gathered your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast. Everybody, read that last little sentence. You shall what? The Feast of Tabernacles is the feast of rejoicing. Man, I wish you could just understand how powerful this is right now. What has just happened in America? What has just happened on the planet? We have come through a really difficult season, 2020, right? The coronavirus, riots, and all kinds of different stuff. But God has got us this far. We are here right now. I think we have something to give him some remembrance for, to go before him and give him thanks and honor him, because he's provided for us to get this far, right? He says, and you shall rejoice in your feast. And now watch, you and your sons and your daughters, your male servant, your female servant, and the pastor and strangers and fatherless and the widow whom are within your gates. So everyone that you can, you bring up to celebrate the feast, because we honor God and thank him for what he's done. And we know that he's going to provide for us as we move forward. You see, this is not only a feast of rejoicing because of what he's done. It's also a feast of rejoicing because of what he's going to do in our lives. Listen, guys, don't let the enemy steal from you. Don't allow the enemy to steal from you. During these seasons, God makes Satan pay you back for what he's taken from you. You have reason to rejoice. Well, you know, you don't know how hard it was for me this year, Pastor Alex. Listen, I have a little bit of an idea. We've also been through stuff. We've lost someone this year as well. He was sick, but he died from the coronavirus. You know, so we've felt the sting of it. But yet we have a reason to rejoice. Listen, if I wasn't a Christian and someone died, I can tell you I would be distraught. I still am distraught when someone passes away because of the loss, but I know where he is. I know where he is. I have no doubt I'll see him soon. I have no doubt he'll be waiting for me on the other side, because I know his word. I know his promises. I know who he is. I know what he's like. Once you've tasted and seen that he is good, you cannot be the same anymore. Listen, when you hear it's the Feast of Tabernacles, you'll run to the church because you'll want to be a part of celebrating it, instead of going, oh, well, you know, that only applies to the old days. That's why he says, when you come to the feast, don't come empty-handed. Come bring an offering, because you must bring an offering of thanksgiving, because guess what? The only reason why you made it this far is because he provided for you. And so when you sow that seed, when you bring that offering, it's a sign of your faith, and because you believe that he'll also provide for you in the next season. I cannot not tell you this stuff. It is a disgrace if pastors do not share with their congregation the power of giving. Listen, and it's not because I need your money. God has provided every single step of the way supernaturally for us. He provides. He provides. He will provide. You need to know it. You need to know how powerful tithing is. You need to know how powerful giving is. You need to understand the laws of sowing and reaping. These are things that you should know. I'm not going to not tell you because I'm scared you're going to leave. If you leave because of that, then goodbye. I'll miss you. Goodbye. I want you to be blessed. I want you to receive all he has for you. I have to share it with you. I have to tell you. I have to tell you. I'll never manipulate you. Never. I don't, they come to me often. Well, you know, I had this in the last church. Well, you know, my husband gave $300,000 to that pastor. I'm just telling you, you know. And I was like, I just don't care. I really don't care. This person actually went to my wife and said, I cannot get your husband to listen to me. Because I know where my help comes from, guys. I know where the provision comes from. When we planted the church downtown, we had nothing. We had to sell our house. We had to buy chairs. My father made a large donation. Thank God. I don't know what we would have done if he didn't. And we started the church with very little. But God provided. He provided, and he did it supernaturally. I don't still to this day know how we made it. Do you know then when I signed the lease, the landlord said to me, how many people do you have in your church? I said, well, 12. But how did he do it? He did it because it was his plan. And when you follow his plan, he provides. He provides for you every step of the way. So we can see that the feast was celebrated. Now, I want to share with you just one or two quick things about the feast, and then, we need to move on. One of the things that they do during the feast is they take what they call a luva, the children of Israel. They take a luva. Leviticus 23, verse 40 says this, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the board of the leaves tree, of the leafy tree, and the willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. The luva is branches of three different trees. It's the willow, and the willow grows by the river. And why this is important is because how many of you know that that God will show us that at the river is where he provides for us. He provides for us when things are going rough. When we feel like we're in a drought, he provides for us. The myrtle leaf as well symbolizes growing in the mountains. Myrtle leaf trees are grown in the mountains. And so it represents God's provision for you during rough times. Then we see the palm tree, the palm branches, which symbolizes God's provision for you in low places. Palm trees grow here on the flat plains of Florida, down in the valley. How many of you know that when you're down in the valley, you need some provision? And so what they would do is they would take these palm branches and they would shake them and they would point them to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and they would declare God's blessing over their families, over their children, over their nation. They would declare his blessings. And it's so powerful. It is so beautiful. I want you to know, and this is so important, what we need to understand is that there are four feasts. You have the spring feasts and you have the fall feasts. Last week Saturday, we celebrated the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was in the Jewish calendar. The Day of Atonement represents repentance. It represents repentance. Now, the children of Israel in the days of Nehemiah, you must understand that they didn't even have they weren't celebrating God the way they should have. They were not following his statutes the way they should have anymore. And so Ezra, while they're busy building the tabernacle and they're busy restoring the walls of Jerusalem, Ezra the priest comes out and he begins to read the word of God to the children of Israel. When they hear what they were supposed to do, they began to weep. Now, watch this. Nehemiah 8, verse number 9 says this, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law, because they heard that they were not following the words of the law. What day was this? This was the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So they were reading from the book of the law on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And then Ezra says to them, he says, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, the Day of Atonement was a week ago, which represents repentance. But the Feast of Tabernacles represents rejoicing. It represents joy. How come is it lined up like that? Because you must understand that true joy will only come once you've repented. True joy only comes once you've reconnected yourself with God. That's why the children of Israel during tabernacles would go into the booths and consecrate themselves to the Lord. They would separate themselves and make this a time where they remembered His goodness, they remembered His mercy, they felt like they were realigned with Him. Because just 1 week ago was the time where they would make sacrifices and repent for their sins. Now we do that too, but our atonement comes from Jesus. So we repent. Even here at Oceans, the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of that. God has been calling us to repentance. Even as a nation, God has been calling this nation to repentance. Just a week ago, we celebrated the return, and the whole nation was crying out to God. The whole nation was crying out and repenting to the Lord because we need the Lord to intervene in our nation. Can you say amen? But I want to tell you this morning that there is no mistake that this week we're entering the Feast of Tabernacles on God's timeline. God is about to move in this nation. I can tell you that whether you believe it or not, it's busy happening. And I want to encourage you this morning. You have reason to celebrate. You have reason to rejoice. You have reason to be grateful. You have reason to be full of joy. The Bible says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word strength there. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The word strength in the Hebrew means that He is your fortress. He is your protection. I want you to know, you know, if you study the book of Nehemiah, you'll find out that when the people of God began to celebrate what He did, they shouted so loud that they actually reported it to the kings. It was so loud. People get upset when we just get a little excited in church. Can you imagine how upset they would have been? You would have been with the days, guys in the days of old. If you don't like shouting, you shouldn't go to heaven. Listen, there's a different kind of shouting in hell. You don't want to be there. You are without excuse. You stand here in the presence of God. I can tell you that right now. His presence is here. He has given us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to turn towards Him. Come on, tell me. Remember the day you got saved. Remember when your heart was broken before Him and you cried out to Him and you said, Lord, forgive me for my sins. And you felt clean and you felt made whole and you had a joy that was unspeakable. That's what happens when we restore ourselves to Him. God will give you opportunity to repent all the time because He wants to tabernacle with you. He wants to have relationship with you. He wants to have intimacy with you. Can you say amen? All right. Amen. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. Listen, the bones. When your heart gets filled with the joy of the Lord, when you begin to celebrate what He's done, listen, as I said, guys, we made it this far. Now we look to what He's about to do. Now we look to what He's about to do. We look to how He's going to restore marriages. We look to how He's going to restore families. We look to how He's going to heal the sick. We look to how He's going to restore our economy. We look to how He's going to heal our president. Come on, somebody. Don't worry about Trump. He'll be fine. I can tell you that right now. He'll be just fine. The Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, I have so much more to get through, but time is running out. Psalm 16, 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And that your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want you to know that there is only one place that you will find true peace, that you will find true joy. And that's in His presence. During the Feast of Tabernacle, we rejoice for what He's done and what He will do. And it's all found in His presence. In His presence, we find healing and deliverance. In His presence, we find the fullness of joy. Many Christians, unfortunately, never even desire to seek after His presence. And that's why they don't have any joy. But if you go after God, you see, the one thing about going after God is that He's forever changing you, which is sometimes a little difficult, right? Like, I'm going to be honest. It's like you just think, hey, I'm doing okay. And then it's like, ooh, that's not so good. Because the closer you get to Him, the more you realize just how you desire to be like, just say, more of you and less of me, God. Because what I see is just human. But when I'm in your presence and I stand before you and I've cried out to you, I know I can do it because you made a way for me. And my right to the presence is because of what Jesus did. But I have a right because I've given my life to Him. I've given my heart to Him. And when I'm in His presence like that, like this morning when we were worshiping, His presence was in this room. I hope you didn't miss it. But He was here. And you have an opportunity to meet with Him. Don't miss it. Don't miss it in your bedroom at home. Don't miss it in your study at home. Don't miss it wherever it is that you spend time with Him. Don't miss an opportunity to be in His presence. Tabernacles. Booths. God has always had a desire to meet with us, to tabernacle with us. Psalm 27, verse number 6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. God has always had a desire to tabernacle with His people. He said to Moses, build me a tabernacle so that I can dwell amongst my people. God now has made you a tabernacle. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Meet with Him, guys. Go and meet with Him. He wants to meet with you. And we celebrate these days 3 times a year, Pentecost, Tabernacles, and Passover, where we remember the goodness of the Lord. You are without excuse. When you're in the millennium, you'll remember your pastor. And you will go up and celebrate the feast. And you're going to do it with such joy. You're going to do it with such joy. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning we honor You, we love You, we praise You, we worship You. Thank You for Your set times, Lord. Thank You for the times that You have set in place to meet with us, Lord. That's why You said to the children of Israel, You won't work during this time. I want You to consecrate Yourself to Me. I want You to come and separate to Me. In the New Testament church, Father, we remember this. So we choose to take some time during this week to just come before You and say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for taking us out of our Egypt. Thank You for providing for us in the wilderness. Thank You that we have to look forward to Your promises and the benefits of being children of the Most High God. We are so grateful. We are so full of joy this morning. The joy of the Lord is our strength because of who You are and what You have done. I pray this morning, Father, because I know during the feast, people proclaim blessings over the congregation. And so, Father, I pray this morning a blessing over every person that's in this place. Father, I pray that You bless and You keep every person, that You make Your face shine upon them, Lord, that You be gracious to them, that You lift up Your countenance upon them, and that You give them peace, Father. For peace surpasses understanding. Your peace, Father, even now, election coming up. We've just come through this virus. People are freaking out. But Father, with You, we can rest. Because You are our shelter. You are our strong tower. You are our strength. Bless every person this year, Father, as we move forward into a new season, as we look forward towards the election and the things You have planned for us as a nation. We surrender to You. We desire Your will be done. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I pray for every person this morning in this place. Father, draw them to Yourself. We love You, we honor and praise You in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.